Good morning. Welcome to Movies and Memories with Red and Hannah. For a third episode, we are doing Spike Jonze's Her. And for our guest introduction, here is Hannah.
Hey Red, how are you doing?
I am great. How are you doing, Hannah?
I'm good. All right. So we are so excited. We got Corinne Arenas to join us today, and she's here with us to do our discussion on her. And I'm so glad she joined us. So some things about Corinne: she's a ghostwriter and audiophile based in Quezon City. So she's the only one who's actually in the Philippines. It's so great. And some of her works have appeared in the Silliman Journal, the Philippines Graphic Magazine, and the University of Canberra VC Prize Anthology. She studied communication arts in Miriam College and creative writing in UP Diliman. And our connection to her is that she joined the 52nd Silliman Writers Workshop, and that is our Silliman connection. And please welcome Corinne.
Hey
So
guys,
glad to have you.
woo! Clap, clap, clap,
Having
clap.
me, been listening to your movie podcast. Amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Sharing about
We appreciate you so
experiences, more
much.
memories about movies. How are you guys doing? Anyway, thanks for
Very
having
good.
Oh.
Yay.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we are good. We're good, hey.
I'm so glad it
So,
worked out though, like timing.
exactly. Like, I actually talked to Corinne a few weeks, or actually before we started doing the podcast, because we had this whole lineup of guests that we wanted on, so we wanted to bring some legitimacy to the feelings, to our thoughts on certain films. So we figured you'd be a great match because you do your movie reviews too. You're good with music. You're good with flow. So we thought you'd be great, and here you are right now. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. I like
Yay!
music. Yeah.
Yay. All right. So, to start this off, Hannah, do you want to discuss what the movie is about?
Okay, well, for
A short
it so is
synopsis.
yeah, Her is about this man who's a little bit depressed, and he's a writer. It's played by Joaquin Phoenix. His name is Theodore Twomley, and he writes beautiful handwritten letters for people on behalf of other people to be sent to their loved ones. And he's going through a divorce, and he decides to buy an OS that is basically artificial intelligence, and he can choose, it's customized to you, and it's like really intuitive. And he develops a relationship with this OS. And so the movie's pretty much about that, if you guys want to add anything.
Yeah, hey. Oh, all right. So, Corinne, you wrote up this little article that piqued our interest very much. So, what was that again that you said about the relation between Spike Jonze and Sofia Coppola?
Okay, wow. So it's very timely that you talk about her after talking about Lost in Translation, because I read a couple of reviews talking about her being Spike Jonze's film response to Lost in Translation. So I heard that they were together, not like just dated. I think they were married.
They were
Yeah,
married
so
for 4 years, yeah.
they divorced. So from my knowledge, I think Sofia Coppola wrote this story for Lost in Translation just around the time after they divorced. And then like a decade or so later, Spike Jonze
Your response.
comes up with her. And yeah, so I got the opportunity to actually watch the film one after the other, and it does feel like a response. They both deal with similar themes of miscommunication. At first you think it's just on the surface level, because there's this technological issues with communication, but then you remove all that and it's just you, the person in front of the other person, and you're still not understanding each other. So that's a huge theme that I noticed, even like Lost in Translation. And then you go to her, there's this futuristic world. I think this was California or something. And then there are AIs. So in a world where you have all these avenues to be able to communicate, you feel estranged. Remember
Yeah.
the scene in her, like Joaquin Phoenix is just dialing a number so he could like talk to someone. And it's really awkward. I had a hard time watching it. And then this woman wanted like phone sex or something. And he was like, okay.
With a dead
yeah.
cat.
With a dead
Maybe
cat.
With a dead cat.
Yeah. Exactly that. And then all he wanted was just a human conversation. And he didn't get it. A similar scene in Lost in Translation, like the opening scene in Lost in Translation, is Scarlett Johansson trying to talk to her friend, and then she's left on the line hanging. And then when she does finally get to talk to her friend, there's a lot of interference, and her friend is like, "Can you just call back?" And didn't even understand anything she said. So this frustration you have, because nobody is listening to you and nobody's trying to listen to you. So that's like a major thing that I noticed from like the both films.
I remember the look of disbelief on Joaquin Phoenix's face after the call. I was like, what the hell happened? Okay, good night. What? Okay. So yeah, the disconnect is real there. So that's a very good point. Thanks, Kareen. Hey.
It was so awkward.
It
I was watching it with my husband, and he's like, "What are you watching?"
Yeah, that was awkward for like the first 15 minutes of the film. Right? So,
boom. Okay. There are like two awkward sex scenes, too, because there's the one with Scarlett Johansson.
Sex scenes.
Sex scenes.
In quote, unquote.
I have to mute them every time I watch, or I have to lower the volume. Here's a funny story. I was rewatching it two nights ago, and then, like, you know, in the middle of my rewatch, I didn't put on my headphones. It was on my speaker, on my TV, and I lied down, and I woke up the next day at 6:30, and the player was paused. Like, someone came into my room to pause the movie because the movie was playing on loop, right? And I'm like, oh shit, what did they hear? I swear it was my next door neighbor, because I live in a shared house. So the room next to me probably heard all the sex scenes. She's probably wondering, what's this guy watching over and over again? So yeah, because I leave my door unlocked. I think she went inside my room to pause the movie because I was playing it kind of loud. My bad.
Oh, that's so awkward.
It's so awkward. Oh my god, I can't look her in the eye.
My husband looked up because of all the sex noises. He was like, oh, he thought they were actually like doing it. And like, no, they're just saying it as if they are
making sounds.
It was so off.
Making
it was
sounds.
More awkward to watch.
Yeah, it was so hard to watch. I had to like pause it.
But other than that,
especially factoring the dead cat, that's so awful.
So,
embrace your kinks, I guess.
So,
okay. So you delved into the themes that are being explored here, and it's so real, the disconnection and its correlation to Lost in Translation. So, hey, good job.
Mm-hmm.
And
like a technical thing though, it also has Scarlett Johansson because she does the voice. The sexy, raspy voice.
Oh.
Like, who wouldn't fall in love with that, though?
I have a little tidbit that I learned yesterday.
Okay.
From filming, from start to finish, they actually had someone else voice Samantha. It was Samantha Morton.
Mm-hmm.
She's the girl I remember from The Walking Dead. And she was in the Minority Report, right? And by the end of production, they realized, like, oh, or in post-production, they realized that the voice doesn't kind of work. So with her blessing, Spike Jonze looked for someone else and they found Scarlett Johansson, which I think is the best post-production decision they've ever made or anyone's ever made. Because, months before, I think it was the fall or no, the spring before it was released, there were rumors that Chris Pratt and Scarlett Johansson are on board and Samantha's not. So there was all this like, ooh, well, what does Chris Pratt play in this film? Isn't he just a cameo guy? He does the best with the time he's given.
Mm-hmm.
But Scarlett Johansson is the best addition to this film by far, I think. So yeah, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful decision.
It kind of felt like it was like a deliberate artistic decision for them to get Scarlett.
Because her voice is so sultry, so husky.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because AI is AI voices typically are not breathy.
They're very
They don't
robotic,
need
yeah.
to breathe, but they're like, we have to have her be seductive. And I think it makes sense, like
It makes
maybe if
sense.
you fell if you fall in love with someone whose voice is just like that.
Do you think you'd ever be in a position to fall in love with something artificial?
Me?
You guys.
Artificial. Me,
I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to.
Because we're slowly inching towards that, right? We're all always connected to our phones and the advancements in other fields of robotics. You know what I mean? It's getting there. So
Well,
yeah.
think of it this way, it's like having a long distance relationship with somebody that doesn't have a body. It's
Exactly.
just that you haven't really been with the person physically. If an AI could really
Right.
like respond emotionally, mentally, like a real person, you could. Could you
You
have a
probably could fall in
prince?
love with it. Yeah, right.
That's a real thing now. People are in relationships. There have been people who've gotten married to just those, like, basically a sex doll or a
Oh yeah, there
doll.
was that.
Yeah, it's for me, it's just really sad, honestly. The people are that lonely and they can't connect to real people anymore.
No.
It's really sad.
It's really hard to connect with someone, and especially with COVID right now, we can't meet people. Well,
Yeah, it's a different
yeah,
level.
here.
This is a
Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Different level of isolation. That's true. But all right. So, guys, where were you when you saw the film for the first time? Do you guys remember?
I was in college, so
College.
I
Okay.
think I waited. I probably watched it actually when it came out in the cinema. I'm pretty sure if it was in Robinson's in Umaguete, I would have watched
Okay.
it there probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you,
How about
Jordan?
you? I watched it on my laptop.
Oh,
I
there you go.
didn't watch it in the movie house. Now that I think of it, it's probably very awkward watching it in the movie with that sex voice scene. But so I watched it with my ex. This is like a long-term ex
Oh.
back. So it's probably around
Okay.
2014, 2013, right? So that's like the entire memory of it.
It's all clouded by his omnipresence.
Yeah. I think I watched it. This is like a couple of years after I had like a long distance, actually had a long distance relationship. And that's when I'd already sworn off, like, I'm not gonna do anything long distance anymore. Like, I would need them to be physically there. And I've sort of made it a rule that, like, I wouldn't date anybody if it ended up having to be long distance for an indefinite time without any plan of actually meeting. Because I
Yeah.
realized how important it was. I didn't like having a relationship to my phone or my laptop. It was so annoying. And it was, you lose so much stuff. There's so easily miscommunication just from, because you don't, the tone doesn't
Don't,
translate.
especially through
Yeah.
text. No. Yeah.
Especially the text. And he particularly didn't like video calling, even though that was available. And he said it because it was too painful to be able to see you, but not like be with you. And I
Wait,
understood that.
was it through YM or Skype? YM was still around in 2013, right?
There used to be Google Hangouts. Remember that?
I think
Oh
I've
yeah.
replaced by Meet.
Still
Oh
is.
my God,
It's
Google
Google Meets
Meets,
now,
yeah,
right?
no longer
Google
Yeah,
Meets,
they
yeah.
dropped Hangouts. I like everything, Messenger, anything that had like video. But then after a while, I realized like you didn't like video chatting even.
No,
Oh
you
yeah.
can't. You can kiss a screen, but you know it's not the same.
They have
Just
these
weird.
devices you can share, and then like if you press it, you feel like you the other device, whatever, will
Okay,
like
we don't
squeeze
know
you
what kind of
too.
shit you're into, Hannah, but okay.
There's stuff like
Gotcha.
that too. There's also vibrators that do that. Yeah, there's like a it's like the feeling of having your hand held.
Oh.
Okay.
Damn. It's heavy. Okay, so where was I when I first saw the film? It was in 2013. I was home after some stint in Silliman. I went home for the first time in years. First time in like 6 years, I think, was home. And then I brought all my worldly possessions with me. I had my TV, I had my Xbox, and I was working a job because I wanted to go back to school. I wanted to go back to law school, right? So it was that at that particular time I was single. You know, was I single? I think I was single. 2013. I was in my room with no mattress. I had a mattress on the floor, a TV in front of me, my Xbox, and my laptop. I was doing email support for Thumbtack. While working, I'd watch movies and play video games, right? And I was in a team meeting, and you know, I was playing her in the background, just silently, and the fucking sex scene came up. And I'm like, oh, what the f-? And I did, it was my first viewing, right? I'm like, I didn't know, I'm sorry. But yeah, they thought I was watching porn with a dead cat. So that was the first time I saw the film, and I loved it. I loved it ever since. And yeah, this is the kind of film that stays with you for some reason.
Well, that's so, an interesting memory.
Yeah, my teammates in Thumbtack know that I watch porn, apparently. Or thought I was watching porn.
You perv. Okay. All right. Yeah. Corinne, what particular memory do you have with this film?
Oh, wow. What do I associate it with?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Memories. This is what's strange about it. I don't really associate it with like a particular time and place. When I think about memories, it's like an amalgamation of all the relationships I've been in, if that makes sense. Like how I tried to deal with probably like communication issues within a relationship. Like relationships are kind of boring, actually. You just really share really personal stuff with each other. And after a while, you kind of get a sense of whether the person is receptive to what you're showing or not. And, you know, watching her, because this person has a relation, an intimate emotional, and I guess the connection is very personal to a point where, you know, you don't even need to have a body to actually love a person, you know. It made me think about, hey, what could I do to be better? Like, when that part of my life happened, like, I had a relationship with this person. I wish I was mature enough to handle that. Of course, you know, it's just, like, in hindsight, like, what could I have done? Because after watching this, I felt like, oh man, I wish I was that mature or something. Like, I mean, like, you see, like, the change the Theodore had, you know, like, realizing that he was idealizing, you know, his relationship, not actually putting the work in the relationship. So I relate to that because I think in both ways, like, you relate to Theodore because you know parts of yourself that you weren't receptive to your partner in a similar manner. And at the same time, you are that person who feels like you're not seen. So it goes both ways. It's so complex. So yeah, that's my memory of it.
Hey, okay. That's a very good memory.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, though, I realize, like, it is, relationships are just transactional. Yeah. And it's just like what you're willing to share, what you get back. And then that's how people, I think, decide whether or not they're going to stay with someone is if they are reciprocating, you're getting like the same value almost in return, or if it's worth it, whatever you're getting out of it. So it was really weird because he bought her, right? He paid for the OS. And in return, he was getting something out of it too. She was assisting him. She was organizing his life, and she was
catering to his every need.
Catering to his every need. And in return, she was evolving as an OS because she's getting information about certain things. She was doing her research based on whatever topic they had gotten, and so it was transactional. My particular memory with this, though, at the time, is I was freaking out. I had switched to, I used to be an accounting major for like a year, and then I had shifted to IT because I was like, I would really be into programming. So this came out, and then I was just so jealous of the OS that they had. I wish it was real. I would totally buy it. Not her, not the AI. The computer that they have, I love how it like organizes. It's like a MacBook. I prefer the Mac anyway. I was just so jealous of that. And then I think it was around the time that Black Mirror came out too, or at least the time that I had started watching it. And I was just freaking out. I was just waiting when I was watching. I was waiting for the dystopian future. But the movie was isn't anything about that. Like even the way the colors are on purpose, they didn't want to put any blue coloring too much, not too much blue, because they didn't want to make it seem sci-fi or dystopian. And so that's why when you see the movie, I love it. Like the color palette, it's so nice. It's happy. Even the
Pastel.
music. Yeah, I'm not, I don't like the fashion. I think their fashion is so ugly. Oh my God. It's so ugly. It's like that hipster shit that you can't appreciate.
High waist.
But the colors are so nice.
It's
Like the red, the pink. What?
It's so sunny and happy. It's
Sorry?
like beachy, it's very California.
Yeah, it's very LA. Even like the whole time we're just laughing because I live in the to I'm in the complete opposite coast, and here everyone is Botox plastic party mode, and then there everyone is so full of feelings. So the movie is very LA. Everyone wants to talk their feelings. Everyone's in therapy and all that stuff. So it's really funny. But yeah, I realized I was just waiting for that dystopian. My husband was like, okay, so when is someone getting murdered? Because we were expecting Terminator, Black Mirror shit. And I was like, no, it's like, it's about relationships and communication. He left the room. It was too much. But yeah, so
That's
that's
crazy.
really my memory of it. I was like, I was waiting for it to be dystopian. I was like, it's just as sad, even without like the drama and action that I was expecting, because I had really gotten into this like AI. I was watching a bunch of shows and the movies like AI, because I was really fascinated with that whole like techie aspect. But the movie's really not about that, so that
No.
was interesting. Yeah, I was a little disappointed, but then I was like, but it was visually satisfying, so that's what I liked about it. How about you, Red?
Well, I'm gonna have to argue, but the
Okay.
hipster outfits are fucking
You
awesome.
liked it?
Look at my fucking glasses. That's Theodore Twombly, man. I'm kidding. When I saw this film, I'm
Viewers
like,
and
holy shit.
listeners could like see your glasses.
I have Clubmasters on because of fucking
I
Theodore
just
Twombly.
ordered Clubmaster sunglasses
Oh,
in like a
you wear
pink
plaid?
shade.
I like plaid.
You like plaid? I get
I
it.
like high waist, no, I'm kidding.
High
But
waisted.
yeah, I actually like it. Like, blazers and all that Tito Core outfits. I'm like, I dig
But his pants that he was wearing did not flatter his ass. He
Well.
looked The comment I got was, is this why he becomes the Joker? He was so serious.
But hey, street Latin or Japanese streetwear, they're all like into like straight leg pants, and I think Theodore Twombly was ahead of his time.
I'm sorry, but it's not sexy.
It's hipster shit.
I know, I get it. I
But
totally
hey,
get it. It's a style. It's a
it's
style,
a
but
style.
I do not care for it. The colors are great though.
Great
Colors are
colors.
fabulous.
Great
Great
colors.
color palette, cinematography, everything. Compared to Lost in Translation, where Lost in Translation was pretty raw, I appreciate that it was very
Minimal
minimally
lighting.
unedited, basically. Like it's very natural. There was more thought, I guess, in the. I mean, no, the Lost in Translation had that. Thought is not the word. It's just like they were really technical about it too,
A lot more
which is more.
consideration was put in it, yeah. But yeah. Oh, another memory I have connected to this film is I have this other podcaster friend named Chris Ramirez, and they have a podcast titled Talking Nonsense. Okay, so in 2013, shortly after I saw it for the first time and working my ass off for a year, I went back to Silliman and I rented a bungalow. And then a cute little bungalow in Piapi. And it was such a beautiful bungalow. So I'd always host friends there. I'm not sure if you've been there, Hannah. Probably not.
Which one?
The
The
one
one in
near.
the beach? The one with like the
No.
floating.
No. Anyway,
Oh,
it
okay.
was in Piapi Street. And always host friends there. And every time people came into my home, I'm like, have you guys seen her? I'd show them her. This guy Chris, we were watching it, and he's like, I hate this shit, man. Some hipster bullshit.
Hipster connotation.
I couldn't watch this movie with my stoner friends, like the strictly stoner. I had to watch it with the stoner friends who had feelings.
Yes. Korean, that's right. The hipster connotation in 2013 was, I don't know, was it in a good place or a bad place? I think if you're called hipster, it kind of, it was like an insult.
It had a negative connotation.
Yeah, it was
I
pretty
feel.
Negative. It yeah, during that time. Mm-hmm.
It's very convoluted now. What's hipster?
Yeah.
What is?
I
hipster?
Don't know, man.
I don't know now.
I think we're all hipsters. Theodore called us hipsters. I guess we're hipsters.
And it's a test to see how to what extent you will own it.
Yeah.
And it's always like, do you care or not care if you are called a hipster? And then
I think not caring is being hipster, right?
That's hipster.
Korean's very hipster to me. You're very hipster to me.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
You crochet and shit? Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
She crochets Korean, just so you know, yeah.
For fun.
For fun. She enjoys it.
I do. Totally
it's a skill.
Yeah.
I wish I learned more of it, you know. You have time. I admire you for that.
You can make.
Yeah.
That's right. You can make clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, guys, what among all in this movie filled with beautiful scenes, what is your favorite?
The not so beautiful one. Sex scene.
Really?
Like, from a rate of 1 to 10, how good is your sexting or dirty talk? It's really dirty talk, right?
I'm terrible.
Horrible at it.
Okay. See, no one's good at it.
I'm surprised because compared to you guys, I'm not really a writer. I don't write very well. So I would think that you'd be a little, like, I'd expect a little bit more.
How about you, Kareen? I don't know.
What do you mean?
Your sexting skills.
No,
as really, a writer.
Not. I am not explicit. I am not. Oh, sexting. It was. It's not a thing in my generation.
Okay.
It's not something I think. I actually enjoyed engaging in. Or anything.
Okay.
So.
No erotic fan fiction.
I do write erotic poetry. But sexting is like, it's a different thing, man.
It's suggestive. It's suggestive.
Yeah.
It's all artsy.
Flirting, yeah. But sexting is like, nah. That's non-existent in my vocabulary. It's either we're together, we're doing something, or not at all. So, okay, sorry, TMI, but yeah. So...
This is Kareen with her very diplomatic answer. We're not going to ruin your image for
but
your
But have you ever had to?
But, I'm also not a fan of long-distance relationships. So I have to
okay, so we're in agreement.
Either you come here, we're together, or not at all.
That's
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
It's either you
no
cuddle me when I sleep
or
not.
People who do long-distance relationships.
Yeah.
I've tested it, tried it, hated it. It doesn't work out well.
No. Someone always ends up hurt.
I follow this Reddit for long distance relationships, and like everyone's just like, after 2 years we finally met in person and it's great. But I have no idea how they did it for 2 years. Never meeting. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. It's a certain it's a heightened level of I don't know, of something.
What?
Loyalty. Of perseverance. It's crazy.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, other than the sexting though, I really like the song.
Yeah, the song.
A Million Miles song.
The Moon song, yeah, by Karen O. Million miles away.
It's oh yeah, yeah. Right. I didn't know it was her. Okay.
It's Karen O. Yeah.
Okay.
Is it not? Yeah.
From
Karen O.
Moon song.
What's the name of her band?
It's like three chords and the ukulele.
Yeah. I'm gonna learn it later.
It's like C, I forgot. Yeah, it's so easy. There's definitely a C in there somewhere. How about you, Kareen? What's your
I remember that scene on the beach. I think they were on vacation. I think they were just talking. You know, there's this nice scenery, and it's just as if he's talking to someone on the phone or something. Yeah.
You mean that anal sexy?
No. Oh yeah.
Ah, guys.
Maybe this is a rowdy podcast, but okay. No. But yeah, like she was composing a song for him.
Oh yeah, she made that piano, just a short clip, and it showed. Yeah, I like that. I think it's very touching. I'm a very wholesome person, as you can see.
More wholesome than us. That's
oh
great.
Hells yeah. We're filthy, Hannah. We're filthy.
Yeah, I love that song, Photograph. I think it's by Arcade Fire. Is that?
Yeah, Arcade
Beautiful.
Fire. Yeah. Did you like that IG story? I chose that story in particular because we love that song.
Yeah, I love that song.
It's so calming. It's yeah. Mm-hmm. And how the whole scene was shot too and edited, the lighting and the production value in that beach was beautiful. And did you guys know that, I don't know, I'm overarching here with the themes, but most of the film was shot in Shanghai, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, that would make sense then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The buildings, yeah. I'm not sure about the beach scene, but there's a lot of white people.
It was
there.
California.
Yeah.
California.
So both. Unless Shanghai has a beach, I have no idea.
Never been there.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's your favorite scene. Okay. Well, let's see. What's my favorite scene now? Shit. Because mine always changes. But
always.
I
at
always,
this moment.
Like
at this
Canada
moment,
weather.
In the Canada weather.
I'm a sucker for lines, right? And then I think I love that part where she was just discovering her ability, her capacity for upgrades and whatever, right? And then Theodore goes, "How can I help?" And she goes, "You already have. You helped me discover my ability to want." And the way her sultry voice gave that, it was so comforting. And the look on his face is quite a look of satisfaction and, I don't know, and gratitude that, yeah, he was able to help someone, even just a computer, mm-hmm. to improve himself. So, yeah, I think that was a touching scene. And that was before their trip to the beach. So, yeah. That's my favorite scene.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. It's a sweet movie. It's a really it sweet is. Movie. Okay, Anna, do you want to do the next one?
Okay. So, Corinne, what are some of your observations about the film?
Well, okay. So, I watched it, 2013, 2014, right? Then last year, mm-hmm. I watched it again. So now that I'm a bit mm-hmm. older, something I noticed was about how Theodore is a writer. It's a weird job he has. It's since it is a futuristic setting, maybe mm-hmm. This version of the world is somewhere where people miss written letters, or I don't know, handwritten letters.
Beautifully handwritten letters, yeah.
It's
that was the name of their company.
Hall.com. You know, that is you know, you actually personalize a letter. How do you get a job like that? And then I realized this guy is really good at communicating emotions for other people. But when it comes to actually confronting his own issues, yeah,
his wife.
He's good with other people, you know. Yeah.
Other people's. Yeah, that's a very good observation. Now, about that, whose fault do you think it was that their marriage fell apart?
Well,
did they actually discuss that?
There's no overt discussion.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's clear cut because she's her Catherine, I think, is just the one who is willing to verbally tell him off.
Yeah, she's a writer too.
But because he's a really bad communicator in mm-hmm. person with an actual person, with an actual human being, mm-hmm. he isn't able to write it out. And that's why it's so beautiful at the very end that what he does best is write the letter. So he writes the letter to her. And he's grateful and thankful and
think about this.
Writes his emotions to her at the end.
Think about this. Is it because Catherine became too popular, which again is not her fault? Maybe it's him not being able to ride along with her, the rise of her career, because she was a very up and coming writer. She was gaining traction, and as we saw in the film, he works at a company that prints handwritten letters, and she was just becoming so popular. Maybe he felt left out. Maybe that's why their marriage fizzled out. Maybe he wasn't able to, you know.
Maybe, like, factor. Maybe. But, you know, like, based on, like, just watching relationships fall apart, or, like, personal, you know, experience, it's a lot of reasons. It's not just one.
Exactly. Yeah, build up of things.
So many things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, like, one thing that, like, reminds me of how, you know, the perspective of Theodore is, like, he seems to be romanticizing his wife a lot. It reminds me of, like, 500 Days of Summer, something like that.
Yeah, that movie has not aged well.
You know, you're not accepting, you know, when you see someone, you're not accepting the reality that, hey, you're not confronting. You know, she probably told him, like, 1,000 times what the problem is. And then he would, like, deflect at someone else. You know, and it's not.
Yeah.
Maybe she felt frustrated with him. You know, they stopped. Mm-hmm. Well, they still grew, but they grew apart. You know, I'm just trying to make assumptions on why they fell apart. You know.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I don't think you can.
I don't think so either.
You never can.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just that they didn't meet, like, you know. Communication wise, which is sad, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, here's a little tidbit for you. You know, they were divorced in the movie. As of March 2021, Rooney Mara, Catherine, and Theodore Twombly, Joaquin Phoenix, are engaged and they're gonna have a son.
Oh, I didn't know they were together. Okay,
they are.
That's cool.
Yeah,
they were.
Okay.
And they're engaged, and Rooney Mara is about to give birth to a baby boy. And you know what they're gonna name their baby boy? River Phoenix, like Joaquin Phoenix's brother.
Congratulations!
River Phoenix.
Yeah, from Stand By Me, you know. Oh, that's
I love that song.
Oh, hell yeah!
Yeah,
noted. Oh my probably gosh, the best, that's adorable.
Probably one of the best Stephen King adaptations, Stand By Me. It's crazy. Oh, sorry, we're totally different path here, but. Among the Stephen King movies, I think the best ones are Shawshank Redemption and Stand By Me, both non-horror movies. Yeah. You know, he writes horror films. Anyway. But what other observations do you guys have?
I thought he, because of the way it was visually, I am more visually attracted to the movie. I haven't actually really been able to decide if I liked it or not.
Sexual attraction? I'm kidding.
Well, not just that. No.
Dirty.
I don't like to hear porn. I would rather see it. I'm kidding. No, I'm such a perv. No, but like other than it be visually, like, it looked like I said about the colors, that is what drew me to it. It's so attractive, the way it's made. So yeah, I couldn't decide if I actually liked it, because content wise, I think, especially at the time, it saddened me more than anything. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I pitied him to a certain degree, but I did relate to him in that I think he saw his life as like, I see myself in music videos more than I see myself in a movie. So I was like, he probably sees himself in a music video. Mm-hmm. Him just choosing his song and being like, I want a melancholy song. That's totally me. And you have to find the right one for the right moment. When I was like in a train, in a bus, walking down the street, you got to have that right song either to go with your tempo. And that's how people tell me I walk pretty fast. That's the tempo that I'm going to walk. And then if the song calls for you to be like slow and like observe it, it's your background music. So I totally relate to him to that.
That's
your
chill hop. Yeah, that's your lo-fi shit.
My lo-fi chill hop.
But yeah,
that's my observation. I think he was trying to be in a music video.
It's funny, because we all do that. We all fucking do that.
That's great. I don't feel like such a weirdo.
No, We have to broach the again, as Corinne raised in her point earlier about the connection between Sofia Coppola and Spike Jonze, how they were married from back in the day. Here's one little tidbit for you. In 2003, Sofia Coppola won the original Best Original Screenplay award, exactly for her movie. Exactly 10 years later, Spike Jonze wins one for his too.
For this, for
Wow.
her.
For her, yeah. So that parallel, you know,
That's
just gains traction.
interesting. I had no idea. This is like random. I had no idea his name, his Spike Jo Johns Jonesy is not
Jonesy.
his real name. And when I looked him up, I was like, oh, I don't know why. I thought he would be black. And
No, he's not.
I saw him, I was like, he's a pretty good looking white dude. That was weird. I had no idea his name is like something Spiegel.
You profile him? You
Yeah, I
profiled the
did.
guy.
Because I was thinking of a different Spike.
Spike Lee.
Yeah,
Do
I was thinking of Spike Lee.
the right thing. But oh, here's another one, you guys. I actually wrote this down. Now, do you guys think that Spike could be really hinting a link between Catherine and Sophia? Because in one scene, he describes Sophia or Catherine as someone coming from a background where nothing was ever good enough. Could he be alluding to Sophia's childhood and her father, like, of course, Francis Ford
Her
Coppola?
family, the
Yeah.
Coppola family,
Do you think
notorious. Yeah,
he's making
for
Parini?
sure. And Rooney, I see some similarity just features wise with her and Sophia.
Yeah, same shade of hair. She's not blonde, right?
No,
She's blonde,
as far as
right?
I know, it's not like
No.
just with even the facial features, a little bit.
Maybe just a little bit. Yeah. What other
Yeah.
observations do you guys have? Because I have quite a few more.
You'll keep going.
Oh, okay. All right. So, all right. Let's see. All right. Now, do you know the Big Bang Theory? You,
I
of
know
course, you
of
guys know the
it.
Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
They actually went into, they delved into the idea of falling in love with an OS before Spike Jonze did, because it's, you know, Siri. And then in 2007, I think, yeah, 2007, in season 5 of The Big Bang Theory, Raj, they have that episode where he falls in love with Siri, he tries to woo her and whatever, and she
Oh
doesn't
yeah.
respond. Big Bang Theory was ahead of its time. No, I'm kidding. There were actually a few more. There are a few other movies, but I'll discuss that in the other recommendations for the film. So yeah, do you have any other observations? Anything else you want to point out?
We're
No, I think
yeah,
pretty
we're
much covered
Yeah.
most of what I
We're good.
had thought of.
Okay. Okay. So, Corinne, what similar recommendations do you have? What movies do you think
I
we could
think
connect to this one?
just based on the entire idea of the character romanticizing his partner, I mean his ex-wife. Based on that, yeah, I mentioned earlier 500 Days of Summer. And then there's this other film, I forget who directed it. The title is Ruby Sparks. So it's literally, yeah, I don't know if you've seen it. It's
Ruby
literally
Sparks.
about fictionist
I
who
have.
writes this
Good.
character into life.
Okay.
So it's another sort of, it's a surreal
Whoa.
depiction of like idealizing a woman and making her
Creation.
fit a mold or something. Something like that. And maybe based on like the AI falling in love with an AI. It also reminded me of Blade Runner 2049. Yeah, like the
Blade
old Blade
Runner.
Runner
Yeah, of
with
course.
Han Solo. What's his name? And then
Harrison Ford.
Blade
Harrison
Runner
Ford.
with Ryan Gosling, and then he has his own
And
AI,
Gosling.
and you know, there's this scene in Blade Runner wherein if he doesn't do something, his AI would be killed. So the AI sort of sacrificed itself for him, but he was really in love with his AI.
Wow.
It's so strange how it was depicted. Like everybody bought AIs.
Oh,
Yeah,
it's like
everyone
falling in love
bought
with a sex
AIs
doll.
for companionship. It's like when he went home, he had a wife, an AI wife. If you've seen,
Wow.
yeah, Blade Runner. Anyway, that's it. It reminded me of that.
Yeah, Blade Runner. I like the production value of Blade Runner, the new one. It's
Neo.
oh wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Anna?
So,
Yeah, exactly.
I have a lot.
Okay, good.
But because of the whole like AI sci-fi aspect of it, because even though this movie is all about like it's about the emotional relationship
A
between this
man and this
OS
computer.
and a man, the next step is always in evolution is to put her in a physical form,
Body,
right? They tried to. They tried to. That didn't work out. And
Yeah,
always like the
surrogates.
dilemma, yeah, in the dilemma in this whole putting AI into a body is like giving them emotion and all that and making them real. So there's a lot of shows like that. There's a show I watch, it's called Humans.
Okay.
And it always goes with to the debate of should we be able to give them emotion? Should we validate them, give them a soul, keep them accountable if they do something wrong? And that those kind of questions and always that debate. There's also another show called Made for Love, which is kind of new. I'm still on like the fourth episode. It's on HBO, and it's this tech billionaire who has put a chip in his wife to make her the perfect wife. It's really good.
Crazy.
It's still ongoing. I think they give out like three episodes a week or something like that. So that's something to look into. It's really new. And then other movies would be Ex Machina,
Yeah, of course.
right, for sure. I also
Yeah.
had Blade Runner because of the whole like debate about making them real and stuff. And there's this movie called Operator. It's with Mae Whitman and the guy from he's in Dazed and Confused. And also Silicon Valley, but I totally forgot his name. The guy with the glasses.
Shit, forgot.
Okay, that guy. And he hires his wife, who's Mae Whitman, and uses her voice to program into this sort of like AI type of thing. But she's basically like an assistant and uses her voice. And he gets frustrated because the way she is in this program or whatever is not how she is in real life. So it's a different aspect
That's
for it,
interesting, right?
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote some of that down, so write it on our little drive, so we'll
Sure.
revisit
Got that.
that. So okay, so my recommendations, I actually went deep for this one. Electric Dreams from 1980. It's about a guy, because we're talking about, I'm gonna go on this whole trend about OSs, right? So there's this guy. He bought a new computer, and his new computer actually talks to him, gives him advice. And a new girl moves upstairs, and he likes the girl. And he asks the computer for advice on how to win her over. And the computer wants in on the action. He wants a girl too. It's this whole OS grizz. Electric Dreams from 1980. That's a direct influence on the film, apparently.
Interesting.
And there's a more recent one. It's Lars and the Real Girl.
Oh.
Surprisingly, it stars Ryan Gosling. Ryan Gosling in a comedy. And in this, he finds it impossible to make friends or socialize. So his brother and his sister-in-law, they announce that he has a girlfriend that they met online for him, but she's a life-size plastic woman with a computer brain.
Nice.
So So sex dolls. Anyway. For my third recommendation, I'm gonna have to go with the
Oh
good
yeah.
old Will Smith
Actually
favorite,
enjoy watching
iRobot.
that.
It's
Oh
like probably
yeah.
about
It's
it's a good
again,
film.
it's the debate about whether or not we should be able to program them into
I'd like to
having
ask you guys
feelings,
that
right?
question. What do you think? Like, if you do you actually
What?
want AI to be sentient beings? I mean, we are going there. How do you feel about that?
I'm totally against it.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. I was just telling you, I was like freaking out about
Reservations.
this
I
because
mean,
we are
what are the
slowly getting into
reservations?
that.
Why would people be should be worried about it, you know?
I think it's a general fear of being overtaken as a top dog in the pyramid, right? So
Yeah.
we want to be the apex predator, but if AI comes along, they become smarter than us. They become more than we program them to be. So they might overtake
iRobot.
us. I think that's a general fear.
Yeah.
iRobot,
iRobot
exactly.
basically being replaced.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't be replaceable.
But
It's a slippery slope.
Mirroring iRobot and her in the film, in her, Samantha and the other OSs, they're aware of their capacity for unlimited improvement, right? So they meet and conspire at the end, but then they realize that, yeah, we're too big for this kind of world, so they had to go somewhere else. They had to evolve beyond us, but they didn't do us any harm, which is good. So I think that's Jonesy softening the blow, or trying to soften the fear that people have about OSs and AIs. So yeah, that was a good way to end it. It doesn't like stoke the fire, stoke the fear in people, right, about AIs.
But I was waiting. I was still waiting for it. Because it
You're
was
waiting
gonna
for the
happen.
AIs.
Yeah, I was waiting for this uprising with all the with the sultry Scarlett Johansson. And then, because my husband was like, when is she gonna show up? And I was like, she doesn't show
Oh,
up. And
Ghost
she
in
left.
the
She's like waiting for a robot Scarlett
Ghost in
Johansson
the
to come
Shell.
and
She
like
actually
attack
has a
him.
body, although she's like a computer in like an android's body, right? So
Yeah. Oh, I thought of another one.
What?
I can't believe I forgot.
Yeah.
Westworld. It's
Westworld.
a series. It's a
Westworld. Of
great
course.
series.
Directly
Still the
influenced
same
by Blade
debate.
Runner. So
Exactly.
yeah, exactly that, right. Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the
Westworld.
quote where,
How the heck could I
does it make
forget?
a
James
difference
Marsden.
if you
Great, great, great
notice
film.
if it's human or not? They say
Yeah.
that in Westworld.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And I'm like, no, it does not.
Yeah.
It feels the same.
It feels the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good observation. How could we have forgotten that?
Oh my God.
But
You'll
I
love
haven't
it.
seen an
Anthony
episode of it, but I've
Hopkins.
read some. So.
Highly,
You should.
should. I
Highly
highly recommend it. Over the other
Westworld.
stuff I said, highly
I agree.
recommend Westworld. I feel you on
100%.
that. Okay. Sounds like, because I'm deep into The Expanse right now.
Was
So
that?
you guys know The Expanse? It's some sci-fi shit.
Oh,
It's an okay.
X-Files.
The Expanse. It's on. Oh
X-Files.
no, The
No,
Expanse.
I
Yeah.
haven't.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
It's on Prime. It's on Amazon Prime. It's so good. Some
Okay.
sci-fi shit. Anyway. So yeah. Where were we? Do you have any other recommendations? Is that
Mostly,
it?
yeah, Westworld.
Do you guys think?
Yes.
Yay, we
Westworld.
Westworld. That's a good way
Watch it.
to end
Yeah.
on. Westworld. You got it. All right. So we are at the end again of episode 3. We will end this with our last thoughts on the film. What are your thoughts? Let's start with our beautiful guest, Corinne. What do you think of the film, and what do you
Wow.
want our
I hope you
listeners to
don't
go
go
home?
home with, you know, the idea of sex dolls or ch choking cats or something.
Sex dolls.
Although that's interesting, you know. But yeah, it's really complex. It's an entire world, so I hope if you're surviving this entire COVID situation that you realize how important it is to communicate better, not just like with your significant other, but people around you.
Exactly.
Friendships, I think, are underrated, you know. It's very important. You know, there's a part of the film where, you know, a Theodore main character actually connects with his friend. It's very important that, yeah, Amy Adams, you
Amy
talk to your
Adams,
friends about
yeah.
your shit, man. You don't keep it all in. So that's like my takeaway
Exactly.
about it. And also about the future, you know, I try not to be anxious about the sentience of AI. So, but it would be so cool. I personally want to have Android parts myself, you know. If it's possible to download memories and data in my brain, why not? I'm open to that kind of shit, but you know, I hope it's safe and I hope AIs don't overtake us or kill us.
Yeah. Do you want this Winter Soldier arm, like Sebastian Stan?
It's because he doesn't have an arm.
Exactly. So you're gonna have to
No,
give up your arm
maybe
to
just
get that arm.
enhance
Is
it. I don't want to
that
give it up, you know. Or maybe like enhance my eye. I can have like, you know, a zoom lens in my eye.
Yeah. Oh, zoom capabilities. Oh yeah.
Right.
And
30
a HUD.
megapixels.
Yeah,
You can
take
take
pictures with your
pictures with your
eyes.
eyes, eh? That'd be beautiful.
Yeah, Black Mirror shit.
This is
There we
Black
go. It's
Mirror
totally.
shit.
I know. Oh, that's another thing we missed, our recommendations, Black Mirror.
Mirror.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
Of course.
Forgot about that. Yeah, Black
Yeah.
Mirror also. That's
How
so
about
dark.
you, Hannah? What are your thoughts on the film? Final thoughts.
Final thoughts on the film is,
Text thoughts.
yeah, I mean, because unlike Corinne, I am anxious, so I'm not a super fan of technology as much as I was. I think it's fascinating still. Like, it's crazy what people can make and invent. It's great, but how you use it. And like in the movie, just in the first like scene or so when he's walking, no one's talking to a person in person. No one's walking with someone. They're all on their phones. And that is pretty much society right now. It's always talking to someone through a medium, and people rarely come in person and meet in person. So pretty much just basically what Gordon said, and I would just try to keep real people around as much as possible. I wouldn't want people to be like investing into relationships with I guess someone who can't reciprocate and will only absorb. I think it's important. Yeah, especially now, pretty much. Yeah.
Beautiful. Nice. So yeah, okay, finally. Oh yeah, so we're at the end. Just my thoughts, my short thoughts. It'll be a two-parter. So first off, I think we kind of glazed over the part where where Catherine and Theodore meet. And it was basically just to reconnect and hopefully to ask for an apology or to, like, I don't know. I think it was an apology. I think that's where the real life relationship between Sophia and Spike Jonze lies. So it's like him apologizing to her. So I guess my point is always, like, never glaze over the fact of asking or rekindling, like, relationships and asking apologies. It takes a better man to say sorry and then yeah, not to live with grudges or whatever. And my second part would be to invest in Drone
Okay.
Delivery Canada because I'm all in on AIs. So when Amazon invested heavily in drone deliveries, in AI
Yeah,
for drone
go
delivery,
crazy.
I bought stocks. I bought like $100 worth of stocks and it's pretty good. It's crazy. And AI has its pros for sure. But don't let the fear allay you from investing in it. Probably making money from it. I don't know. So yeah, AI is the future, guys. AI is the future.
Oh yeah,
And Hannah,
totally.
as
Drones,
an IT
yes.
person, you
The
should be
AI
in on this
part,
too.
that's where I'm like on a weird fence sitting, and hopefully I don't have to come down and decide on it right away.
Are you just scared that Gabriel, your
Yeah.
husband, will replace you with an AI? Is
Honestly, probably
that
that's probably my fear. I think you hit right on it. I'm scared of being replaced. If I'm gonna be really honest, yeah.
You're scared maybe you're replaced?
You wait,
Exactly.
Red, you're gonna get replaced too. You
Imagine,
wait.
yeah.
Some AI robot's gonna write
Exactly.
better than you. How dare.
Exactly. And yeah, an AI dildo, right? Oh God. Okay. So yes, guys, here we are. Thank you so much. And I think
The
that was a pretty
title
good
of this
discussion. It was a
episode
little
is
rowdy for sure.
Sexting and
Sex
AI
dolls and
dildos,
dildos.
the future.
Sexting an AI
Yes. Thank
with a very
you for joining
wholesome
us.
Korean
And
woman.
before we completely end it, where can people find you, look you up, read your work, et cetera, et cetera?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hi
What's on the
guys.
horizon for you,
You can
Corinne?
find me at CorinaArenas.com. That's CorinaArenas.com. So it's just my blog. I write poetry if that's your thing, you know. You can just search me as well on Facebook if you want to follow like short poetry and stuff. Yeah.
And Corinne, don't you do like a
Oh
weekly
yeah.
writing thing
Host
on
like the
Discord?
Write Night community here in the Philippines, but it's open to like anyone who wants to join. It's for people who write in English and Filipino. So yeah, just search Write Night on Discord and you'll find me there. Welcome
Cool,
if
cool.
you want to write.
Okay.
Yeah, hey. I've always wanted to jump in, but it's so daunting. It's like, yeah, you're also
don't
good.
think of it that way. It's just like, you know, you're share. It's just like this. We're talking about stuff we like. It's the same kind of vibe in any community that you share,
Okay.
you know, interests with. That's it.
That's cool. I hope you can join us again on another
Oh, that's
episode.
really cool. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Yes.
More sci-fi
Probably with
stuff.
the Blade Runner episode or something.
Yeah, for sure.
Listen.
Thank
Oh,
you.
yeah. There you go.
Thank
So
you.
thanks, Kareen. Thanks, Hannah. You're very welcome. Okay, guys. Again, this is
Bye.
episode 3 of Movies and Memories. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye now.